My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Rob Whitman. He is a member of the House Armed Services Committee and chairman of the Readiness Subcommittee. He joins me now to react to President Obama's decision on Thursday to veto the National Defense Authorization Act, essentially a $612 billion defense policy bill that easily passed both the House and the Senate. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
Greg, thank you for having me.
The president issued a brief statement when he made his veto official, and here's what he had to say.
Let's do this right. We're in the midst of budget discussions. Let's have a budget that properly funds our national security as well as economic security. Let's make sure that we're able in a constructive way to reform our military spending to make it sustainable over the long term, and let's make sure that in a responsible way we can draw down the populations in Guantanamo, make sure that the American people are safe, and make sure that we're not providing the kinds of recruitment tools to terrorists that are so dangerous.
So, Congressman, let's start with the financing and what he means by responsible military spending and what you have in this bill.
This bill clearly lays out what we need to do for our military, and I think it's absolutely abhorrent that the president decides to play politics with the armed services, especially the raises that are in there for our brave men and women in uniform, the dollars that go to restore readiness, which we know has been degrading on a significant scale, and making sure we have the proper training, the proper equipping of our forces to make sure we're modernizing our forces. He cannot achieve what he wants to achieve with additional domestic spending through an authorization bill. If he wants to have that debate, he talk about proper funding, have the debate with the appropriations bill. To hold hostage the authorization is absolutely abhorrent. It's a direct, I think, disrespect shown to our men and women in uniform to say, I don't support the efforts that need to be put forward for our nation's military. This authorization bill funds exactly to the president's budget. What he asked cannot be achieved in the Authorization Act. You cannot change how dollars are appropriated in an Authorization Act. So the president's got it wrong. It's unfortunate that he's decided to play politics with this. There are only four other times when the National Defense Authorization Act has been vetoed, and it's been vetoed either because things are in there or things are not in there, and the remedy is either to remove things or to add things. There is nothing that authorizers, the House Armed Services Committee and Senate Armed Services Committee, can do to direct dollars coming from different resources or from different sources. That would come from the appropriators. So it's wrongly directed. It sends a terrible message to our men and women in uniform, and it sends a terrible message to other nations around the world. It said, oh, here goes America again, not really serious about their national defense. This is not leadership. This is an abdication of leadership on the most fundamental issue that all of us are charged with doing here as members of Congress and as the executive branch.
So while I'm sure you do have disagreements with the president on policy, what you're saying here is he vetoed the wrong bill.
Exactly. I mean, if there are things here, he talks about Gitmo. The same Gitmo language is in this bill as was in the 2011, 2012, 2013, and 2014 National Defense Authorization Acts. He signed every one of those. If it wasn't an issue in the previous 5 years, or 4 years, why is it an issue this year? And in addition to these other things, if he wants to have the debate about where the dollars come from, not funding our nation's defense through these contingency funds, then have the debate with the appropriations bill, not with the authorization bill.
Congressman, this National Defense Authorization Act passed by a veto-proof majority in the Senate, by an overwhelming margin in the House, but not a veto-proof majority. What do you expect to happen?
Well, I expect they will have conversations with a number of members here who voted against the bill originally and ask that they reconsider their concerns and objections with the bill, ask that the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee would help in addressing those issues, but ask that they vote to override the veto to get this back to the president so we can get this clear message sent to our men and women in the military and to other nations around the world that we are serious about our constitutional duty to defend this nation. I do think that there will be enough members to do that. We had 20-vote differential when it came through the first time. So based on that number, and remember, it's based on two-thirds of the members present. So based on the number of members present that day, if we have 11 individuals that would now change their vote, that's enough to override a veto. So I know we've had conversations with members to see if we can't encourage them to reconsider their votes of no on the original National Defense Authorization Act and the conference report and ask that they vote yes to override a veto.
Let's talk about your specialty for a moment. If, in fact, there is an extended impasse with this act, what's the impact on readiness?
Well, it's significant. We have dedicated a fair portion of the additional resources in this bill to ramp up our training efforts to make sure that our Army brigades, our Navy sailors, our United States Marines, and our great airmen out there get the training that they need. Our pilots, our ground forces, all become extraordinarily proficient by the level of training that they receive. We want to make sure that we reestablish that training. There are many units now that don't have the timely and proper cycled training. We want to make sure that that happens. Secondly, is we want to make sure, too, that the equipment that they use, the ships, are being repaired on time. The aircraft are going to the depots and being repaired on time. When that doesn't happen, we have ships that don't perform like they're supposed to, have to spend longer time in port, the same way with aircraft. We want to make sure that they're properly maintained. We want to make sure we're modernizing our forces. The dollars go in there to modernize, to keep up with the technology that gives us the advantage over our adversaries. If we don't create the policy directives for that to happen, everything grinds to a halt. So continuing resolutions are bad enough and not putting money out to start things new, but a vetoed NDAA grinds all these things to a halt, so you don't do anything to advance the cause of training, equipping, and modernization, all critical elements of readiness.
The president has often said, when there's been budget showdowns and potential government shutdowns, that he doesn't want single issues to derail the greater good. So whenever there was an effort to defund Obamacare, he didn't like that. Whatever was Planned Parenthood, he didn't like that. This time it seems like he's the one who's stopping a major piece of legislation because of a couple of individual issues that are important to him.
Exactly, and that's contradictory to what the whole effort has been with the National Defense Authorization Act, Greg. It has been about a bipartisan effort to do what's right for this nation. It sets a horrible precedent that now these are issues that are tangential to the Authorization Act. They're issues that cannot be solved in the Act, that are issues that are political, that are now entering into this fray, which sets a terrible precedent because that has never been the case in the past. This has always been a bipartisan effort. And I know I've talked to people on those other sides of the aisle that have heartburn with what the president's doing, with politicizing the efforts to do what's right for our nation's military. I think it is abhorrent. It is absolutely the wrong thing to do, the wrong signal to send. And I hoped that the president wouldn't do this. What I hope as a counter to this is that the House overrides the veto, sends a strong message to the president to say, don't play politics with our men and women in the military. Don't play politics with our national security.
Last question. If, in fact, this does get overridden, or even if it doesn't, do you expect the appropriations bill then for defense to be another major point of furious debate?
Well, I think the debate point there, Greg, will be in how do we put that in perspective to all the other issues we have to deal with in appropriations. And that'll be part of some overall conversation about the revenue side, the spending side, both non-defense discretionary and defense discretionary, as well as the autopilot spending programs. The difficulty with that discussion, as I understand it to this point, is that several folks have said things that they will not talk about, and that never lends itself well to negotiation. You know, we've heard in the past where folks have said, including the president, that everything's on the table, but then going in to try to finish out this year's appropriation bills process, we've heard that folks have said, well, you can't talk about the autopilot spending programs, the Social Security, Medicare, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that. Well, if we take those things off the table, it creates a situation where getting an agreement becomes much, much more difficult. And one of the things we have to do is to make sure that we find the resources to properly fund our military. Now, the president wants to use that as a lever to increase other domestic spending. I would argue that other domestic spending has not been reduced like national defense spending. Before the sequester, there was $800 billion of spending reductions on top of the $500 billion of spending reductions in the sequester to total $1.3 trillion. There isn't any effort near that magnitude in any other area of the government to reduce spending other than national defense. The time has come for us to talk about managing the budget areas elsewhere in the budget, not trying to balance the budget on the backs of our men and women in the military. So I hope that's part of the discussion going forward. And in order to get our arms around the true issues about spending and making sure we have proper dollars in the defense budget, is we have to talk about total spending elsewhere in the budget and not do it in an imbalanced way on the backs of our men and women in the military.
Congressman, you've been very good with your time today. Thanks very much for being with us.
Greg, thank you for having me.
You bet. Virginia Republican Congressman Rob Whitman, member of the House Armed Services Committee, chairman of the Readiness Subcommittee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.